Let me add my welcome to that of Ollie's as well, and say a big good morning to you all. Let me pray as we start. Father, we thank you so much for your word, which does its work as you scatter your seed. It grows where you want it to grow. Father, please would your seed grow in our hearts as we listen to you speaking to us. Give us ears that we may hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Is your Christian life more like this, drought, or this, abundance? I'll give you 20 seconds or so just to have a think in your own heart. So on Sunday mornings, we're working our way slowly through Matthew's Gospel, an account written by a friend of Jesus about the life of Jesus. Here at Kensington, we preach through books of the Bible, chapter by chapter, passage by passage, which means that we as preachers can't just pick our favorite passages that we like preaching, but we preach whatever's next, the next passage, whether it's difficult or easy, exciting or maybe less exciting. And today we've got a difficult passage, maybe not difficult to understand, but difficult to hear. So let's hear what God is saying to us. In the last few weeks, we've seen Jesus proclaiming his kingdom, God's kingdom. God's king has arrived to bring in God's rule, starting in Israel. And he's experienced differing responses to his message. Some people have followed him and been excited and listened to his every word. Others have followed him but then wandered away. Others have been more openly hostile. And some have even called him the devil. Different responses. Last Sunday, we looked at a parable that Jesus taught, the parable of the sower, in which a man scatters seed and it falls on different places on the ground. Some of the seed falls on the path where the birds eat it up. This is like, whoever the next slide please, Mark, where, when someone hears the word, understands it, but then, well, hears the word but doesn't understand it because Satan snatches it away. Or some seed that's scattered and falls on rocky ground. And there's a bit of soil, but then rock, so the roots can't grow deep. And when the sun rises and burns on that plant, it withers and dies. This is like when someone hears the word and responds with joy in their heart, but when hard times come, persecution comes, they have no roots, so they wither and die. Some seed fell among thorns, which grow up surrounding the plant and choking the plant. Like someone hearing the word, understanding it, accepting it, but then the worries of life, the temptation of money, become too much, and the word doesn't bear fruit in that person's life. And other seed falls in good soil and produces fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. When Jesus preached this parable, his message, there were mixed responses. And his parable was explaining those mixed responses, how different people would respond to his message about the kingdom. And then in chapter 13, verse 9, he challenges them, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Whoever has ears, let them hear. But hang on. Everyone's got ears. Surely everyone can hear. What's Jesus going on about? But I suppose there are those situations that we can think about in our everyday lives. When we're talking to someone, we're listening to them, and we suddenly realize that we've switched off. And our eyes may have glazed over, and we've been daydreaming. And suddenly we realize that they've asked us a question. And we haven't got a clue what they've asked us. And we have to keep nodding and hope that's the right answer. So even in our everyday lives, there are ways that we can hear but not hear. So Jesus is saying something about having ears that hear. And we'll come on, we'll see what that means later on. Jesus challenges us to have ears that hear. So let's come to our passage for today. Chapter 13, verse 10. Please keep your Bibles open. That's on page 979 of the church Bibles. His disciples hear this parable of the sower. And they come to Jesus and they ask him, "Why do you speak in parables?" So Jesus has obviously spoken other parables before this, and they're wondering why he's using parables. Why doesn't he just say something without using stories? So why do you think Jesus uses parables? Is it to give an illustration for what he's saying, to make things clearer and simpler for people so they can understand? It may be like when I'm preaching and I try and use an illustration to make things clearer and simpler for you guys to understand. A bit like when I was talking earlier about when we have conversations and we listen but don't listen. That was an illustration to try and explain something and make it easier to understand. Is that what parables are doing? Making things simpler. Well, in verse 11, Jesus answers his disciples. "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Here's the blunt truth. God gives secrets to some, but not others. What are these secrets? The secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And after this, Jesus tells eight parables in this chapter about the kingdom of heaven. Eight secrets about the kingdom of heaven. We've seen the parable of the sower about the different responses to the preaching of the kingdom of heaven. And then after that, we've got the parable which shows that the kingdom has enemies who will be judged by the king. After that, a kingdom which shows that the kingdom was as tiny as a mustard seed, but will one day grow to be as big as a mustard tree. Then after that, the parable about the kingdom growing slowly and steadily, like yeast moving through a batch of flour. Different parables showing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Secrets which were hidden until Jesus came along and explained them to people. So do people now understand these secrets that he's explained? If he's explained them, surely they do. But no. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to some, but not to others. You see, people didn't understand these parables. They didn't make things simpler or clearer. Parables divided people, and that's my main point. Parables divided people into those who don't hear and those who do hear. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, not just to the 12 disciples, but to a larger group of disciples who are listening to him. They've been given the secret, but others haven't. And in verse 12, he doesn't stop there. He adds something to that. Verse 12, have a look. Something even more outrageous. "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Those who have some understanding of Jesus' kingdom, who've been given the secrets, will be given more. Those who have no understanding or have not been given the secrets, even what little understanding they might have will be taken away at some point. Frightening stuff. If God is sovereign, that is, if he's in control of everything that he has created, then he is in control of us, of our minds, of our hearts, of our understanding, of our decisions, of our desires, our choices. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Do we not have freedom to choose? We'll come back to that. So let's think about those who listen but don't hear. Jesus explains in verse 13 that though these people see, they don't actually see. Though they hear, they don't actually hear and understand. And then he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, writing about 700 years before then, to a people, to God's people who had turned away from God and who are following other gods, idols. Idols who didn't see. Idols who didn't hear. Idols who had no heart. And the people had become like the idols that they were worshipping. Unseeing, unhearing, with no heart. And Isaiah's message given to him by God was that they had stopped hearing and understanding, and their hearts had become calloused. Calloused, think of a builder or a heavy-duty gardener, someone who works with their hands and uses tools every day, and their hands become calloused with thick layers of skin that become harder and harder, and I assume that that layer of skin is dead on the outside so that it doesn't feel, and you can prick it with a pin, and that I assume the person won't feel that. A doctor can correct me later. For the purposes of this illustration, that's what happens. Their hearts have become calloused. Like with a layer of skin around them. So they can't feel. So they can't turn to God. So they can't understand. That's why the people in Isaiah's time didn't turn to God, didn't hear, didn't see. That's why Jesus uses Isaiah's words to refer to the people in his time 700 years later. They've become calloused as well. They can't turn to him. They can't understand him. They can't see who he really is. You see, there's more than one answer to why people don't hear. The first answer is that God has given the secrets of the kingdom to some and not to others. That's why they don't hear. The second answer is that they've hardened their own hearts so they can't hear and see. God is sovereign over everything, including our minds and hearts and understanding and decision and desires, but we are still responsible for what we do and say and think and decide and desire. We can't separate God's sovereignty from human responsibility. We see both of those all the way through the Bible. How we put them together is very difficult, but we know that they're both true. And we have to hold them together. Think of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, the second book in the Old Testament. It says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It also says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Think of Jacob and Esau. It says that God chose Jacob, but not Esau. But you read the story of Esau and you see a man who all the time made his own decisions, not caring about God's plan, God's promises, and going off and doing his own thing. God's sovereignty, human responsibility, both working at the same time all the way through the Bible. And the Bible is clear about those two things, how we put them together is the difficult thing. Are we willing to accept the Bible's teaching on that? What about the others who do hear? Have a look at verses 16 to 17. Blessed are your eyes because they see. and your ears because they hear. And his disciples hear for three reasons. The first one is, as we've seen already, that God has given them the secret. It's a work of God in their own heart to enable them to understand. And the second, because they live in the time when Jesus had come and started to bring in his kingdom. Look at verse 17. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Once Jesus had come, his kingdom had started, but all the prophets in the 2,000 years of Jewish history before then had been waiting for this and hadn't seen it. And they wouldn't have known exactly what they were waiting for, but if they'd seen Jesus, they would have known that is who we were waiting for. And the disciples have seen it because Jesus has come. That's the second reason why the disciples hear. The third reason is because they come to him and they ask questions. So notice that the disciples didn't actually understand the parables until Jesus explained them. Jesus has to give an explanation of the parable of the sower, verses 18 to 23. In verse 36, his disciples come to him and ask him to explain the parable of the weeds. He explains the parable of the weeds and then tells them, and presumably not the crowds this time, three more parables. So his disciples don't necessarily have any more understanding than anyone else. But the difference is that they want to understand, and they come to him and they stay behind and they ask questions. So the difference is in their heart. They haven't any longer got as calloused a heart as the others. And so they can turn to Jesus and come to him and ask, explain to us this parable. And though they don't get it completely, bit by bit, they are given more. Whoever has will be given more. The difference is not in their understanding necessarily, but more in their heart and their will and their desire. So the question for me and for you now, can you hear? Can you hear? That's a bit of an abstract question, isn't it? So let's make it more concrete. Do you recognize that Jesus is King? Have you come to him and asked more questions? Are you being given more? Jesus said, whoever has will be given more. Are you growing in understanding and desire for Jesus and his kingdom? And in a group this size, there'll be people who hear and don't hear. So maybe this is the first time that you've heard about Jesus. Or maybe you've been sitting on one of these chairs for 50 years, but never actually heard. Let me stress how important this is. Jesus warns that whoever does not have even what they do have will be taken away from them. Even what you do understand, even the small desire that you may have, that may be taken away from you. Your heart may become increasingly hardened, calloused, until one day you stop coming to church and realize that you never were a Christian. Recognize the danger. It's not too late. You're here, you've seen Jesus, you live in a time where you've seen Jesus' kingdom. We have God's word with God's parables and Jesus' explanation for those parables. His Holy Spirit who enables us to understand his kingdom. Never use the excuse that if God wants me to come to him, then he'll do the work in my heart. I'm just going to sit here and wait for that. That's not how the Bible works. God's sovereignty, human responsibility, together. For those of us who do hear, how do we respond? Jesus says, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. We should be humble and thankful. Humble and thankful because it's not because of our own intellect or cleverness that we understand any of these things or that we've come to Jesus, but because it's God who's given us the gift, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, who's worked in our heart and peeled back that calloused layer around our heart that we can turn to him. Humility and thankfulness. This is sometimes seems so clear, doesn't it? Maybe when we take a friend who's not a Christian to church, maybe, or an event where they hear preaching about Jesus, and we walk out afterwards and we say, so how was that? What did you think of that? And they say something like, I don't know, that was a lovely message, or that was a nice message, or I didn't really get what he was saying. And you think, the person has explained the gospel so clearly that you can never say that was a lovely message. It's an urgent message. It's a scary message if you're on the wrong side of Jesus. It's an amazing or beautiful message if you're on the right side of Jesus, but a lovely or a nice message. And when we're telling our friends about Jesus, so often we do see this blindness, this blankness that they can't see that God has given his son Jesus to die on a cross and the need to response. And our response shouldn't be to think, how can they be so stupid? Because we know how. It's here right in this text. Because God hasn't yet given them the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Well, what about us still? We should also continue to come to Jesus. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. The Christian life is not about a one-off decision. It's about growth, steady growth. Like a plant, you plant the seed and the plant steadily grows. And of course there'll be seasons, and there'll be times of fruit and times of no fruit, and there'll be times when the plant grows quicker than other times. But if the plant doesn't grow, it dies. There's a problem. And we need to be steadily growing and receiving more from Jesus, and growing in our understanding and growing in our desire for him, growing in fruit in our own lives. So how do we come to Jesus so that we are given more? Well, it's always the same answer, isn't it? There's no hidden secrets here. We come to him as we read his word, as we pray to him, as we come on a Sunday and hear his word preached, as we join a home group and discuss his word together as a small group, as we read the Bible one-to-one with each other during the week. It's the same answer through his word, through talking to him in prayer. That's how we come to Jesus and we grow more. But one thing I do want to particularly emphasize this morning is our own personal times with God. Regular personal devotions, you might call them, quiet times, you might call them. If you want to produce a bumper crop, the fruit of godliness in your life, the fruit of your friends and family coming to know Jesus, then you need to spend time regularly, aiming for every day. It won't always happen. Aiming for every day, whether it's a short time or a long time, regularly reading God's word and praying. And I can confidently say that if you don't do that, you'll never grow. It's very clear that that is what we all need to do. And there's a, when you came in on the seats, there was a sheet of paper with 20 helpful, what I hope are helpful tips for those times. Don't read it now, but put it away in your handbag, in your pocket. The first tip was about guilt. As soon as I mention quiet times, personal devotions, we're going to feel guilty, aren't we? We're going to think, I keep trying and I fail. With our guilt, we repent, say sorry, and we move on. God's forgiven us, okay? Let's not keep feeling guilty because we don't spend enough time with him and his word. Let's just keep doing it. So take those home, have a read of them, and a pray through them, and think, how can I make those times better? How can I start doing this in my own life? There are Bible reading notes that can help you. Come to me or someone else afterwards and ask if you want help with that. I can point you to some good Bible reading notes. And finally, we need to tell people about the kingdom. It's coming up to Christmas, and as a church, we're planning lots of different events to celebrate Christmas and to invite our friends, families, colleagues, neighbors to hear about Jesus. And as we do that, we mustn't trust in our own words, in the quality of the events, because that's not what changes people. It's God giving people the secret of the kingdom of heaven. But we don't do nothing. We do tell them about Jesus. We scatter the seed. And most importantly, we pray and ask God to give our friends this secret. Pray, tell, invite, particularly as we come up to Christmas.